My wife did something for me last night she's never done before.
What'd she do? Wait a minute, can we say? It's a family show.
I think I can say.
All right.
She peeled my egg.
That's a nice way to put it.
Look at this.
Oh, you're referring to those.
Yeah, yeah. These are hard-boiled eggs. They're pre-peeled, and she did it for you, Bob.
Oh.
What do you mean she did it for me?
She's worried that my eggs might stink, and when I sit here and peel, that they prolong the effect. She doesn't like me eating boiled eggs in the studio because she doesn't want to get your guys' nose in joint.
That's nice. You know, my wife did something for me the other day that she has never done before.
What's
completely
that?
Unasked for, out of the blue, for no reason, and I have no idea to this minute why she did it. She peels my egg all the time.
Does she?
Wasn't that?
This is a
I don't eat those.
Me.
But anyway.
What'd she do for you?
She massaged my feet while I was watching television.
Ooh.
What?
I hate feet. I'm sorry.
You hate feet?
I know a lot of people. That's their
hot button.
Yes. But
you have a different hot button.
I walked.
Why can't I just lead her walk her right? I feel like a little bit like shooting a deer in the headlights when I do that.
She's got a hot keypad.
I wouldn't know.
So anyway, but you don't like the foot touching.
Yeah, I think I don't. I have really wide, huge, flat feet, so I don't like people looking at
mine. You're embarrassed by your feet, and
so
if someone's touching them, you have this fantasy that they're going to go, "Ick! Oh man, if I'd have known you had big feet."
Exactly. But I'm glad that your wife touched your feet.
Feet are not really attractive on anybody except to those with a foot fetish. A foot fetish? Is it fetish or fetish?
Fetish.
Well, if it's foot, though, it should be fetish.
No, it's not.
Go ahead. Hit it again. Thank you.
A rim shot fetish.
So, yeah, and I had that, too, because she started, for some reason, she just came over and started massaging my foot.
And she's never shown a...
Look, 20-some-odd million years and since dinosaurs roamed the Earth, she's never done that.
Never
yes,
went
Eric?
Near your feet?
She was probably hoping you would take the hint and massage her feet. That's what my wife does.
Hoping for reciprocal foot rubbing.
Oh, I keep forgetting about that whole reciprocal thing.
Yeah,
I've been trying to...
Was this
I always remember, like, the next day, you know, maybe you she know? Wanted something.
Oh, my God.
I didn't do anything. I just laid there. I just laid
feet.
There like Homer Simpson.
Oh, this is good.
I want the last 3 minutes of my life back.
Were these bare feet? Or are they socked feet?
They were bare. She took the socks off. She peeled my she peeled my eggs.
Wow.
Nice.
Were they clean feet?
I'm always clean, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. When I work out, I shower immediately afterwards.
Oh.
Do you?
Oh, no. I like to look.
You walk around in your own stink?
It's a smell of accomplishment. It's a smell that I've done something.
I'm stinking good today.
Honey, I was at the pre-corps. Are you sure?
Yeah, you were.
I mean, I
have you been on the pre-corps every day? We haven't heard about it for several days.
Every day. Well, the actual ads, you know, they take some time off here and there, but I can tell you I did 45 minutes yesterday because my training...
45 minutes of what?
15 minutes on the elliptical at a level of incline of 4 and a resistance of 2, which is pretty...
2?
That's
two
pretty
good.
Strong for me.
Good.
Okay,
yeah.
That's like... That's the terrible 2s, though. You got to get it, you know...
Well, I started at 1. That was just a warm-up. And then I did 30 minutes on the treadmill.
I shouldn't say anything negative at all. That's good, Joe. Gold star for you.
30 minutes on the treadmill at an incline of 4. And
4 is a good incline.
A speed of 3.3.
That's very good. That's got to make you sweat like a pig.
It does.
That's got to make you sweat like Dick Cheney's hunting companions.
Oh, yeah.
And stink like Eric's ductwork.
And now, I got to admit, got on there first thing in the morning, but I am doing my ritual crunches every morning. Mm. 50 crunches.
The Captain Crunches?
No, belly crunches.
Captain Crunches. Doing my crunches. That's a...
Joe's going to have the last laugh, you two.
I'm going to have six-pack abs before we're
you
done.
You will.
Well, maybe.
Joe, you might get to be the second fattest guy on the show.
It'd be nice, man.
The second fattest, so yeah, that would be...
Be something for you.
Yeah. Spike's been working out, too.
He has been working out.
Yeah.
Are you losing?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Are you losing weight, too?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Spent an hour and a half with Patrick yesterday.
Fantastic.
Running, lifting. Sweating, stinking, and showering.
Oh,
you got to shower afterwards, Joe.
I shower before it's any critical thing's going to happen. I mean,
critical.
I think our whole show got paranoid about getting old at the same time. except for you.
Yeah, have fun with
that. Well, you're still paranoid about it, though, aren't you?
No, I'm looking forward. I just want 30 to hurry up and get here, and then everything can slow down, and I'll have a nice, easy go of it.
Now, my wife and I discussed you the other day. We think you're going to be like Lisa was, that you're going to be single until you see the big 3-0 approaching. Yeah. And then it's going to be like the millionth customer to download a song from Apple.
Balloons are going to fall on this guy.
He's a snowboarder from Woodstock.
I didn't know what was going on. She grabbed me. Stuff started falling from the ceiling.
You're just going to grab the next one to walk through the door, which would be fine.
You know, just having one walk through the door would be an accomplishment.
That's
so
right.
That would be great. I'll look forward
so
to that.
So I don't know. What is it that our wives... did your wife suddenly do something good for you? Unexpectedly or not?
It was a full moon yesterday.
These things come in threes. Dennis Weaver died yesterday afternoon.
Maybe mine will come today.
I don't know.
Not really. I was out of town all weekend. Nothing nice has happened.
That's nice. I think my wife is really... I think we're doing really well, actually.
Yeah, I just feel blessed.
You too?
Every day lately.
It was a little... Kelly knew I was a little offended that she didn't want a wife swap with me yesterday.
She felt bad.
Did she?
She did feel
bad. She knows I have a thing for her.
Well, and she hopes that continues. That's her biggest fear, is that you'll quit calling her hot and kind of semi-lusting after her because she loves that. She really does.
I was actually, if you missed this at the end of the show, Spike's wife and Kelly got together, and it was really Melissa's idea that we do some kind of a wife swap where each one of us takes off with another one's wife for the weekend and goes somewhere.
Or doesn't. Doesn't go somewhere. Just
I would take Kelly to a fantastic hotel.
Look at her now. Look at her trying to win her love now.
I'm not trying to win her love. I know where the boundaries are.
Yeah.
But we would go see something exciting. We would tour. We would it would be romantic in its own platonic way.
Well, what she said is that maybe you would be better because you guys could work out together. You'd be a good match.
I would work out with her? Oh, man, I'd love sweating with your wife.
She,
that would be something.
You think I can make that treadmill rock. I mean, she gets on that thing and cranks it up.
Does she really?
Oh, yeah.
What's her highest number?
Oh, it's got to be in the sixes. I mean, and
she can run
incline,
in the sixes.
At an incline of 10, she'll put
oh,
it on.
Oh, come on.
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
And she doesn't sweat.
Your wife is a machine.
Yeah.
She's a well-groomed, well-oiled machine.
Never a drip of sweat have I seen
really
come out of her pores.
Out of bounds.
She doesn't even sweat?
Doesn't sweat.
Does she ever even use the bathroom? Probably not. It's not necessary.
I've never confirmed it. I
go back to well-oiled machine.
She goes in there every once in a while. But
Casey wants the last 3 minutes of her life back, too.
Yeah,
we discussed
Casey now.
No, but I mean that. And as I was thinking, and I hope, did I offend Melissa yesterday? As I said, I wouldn't want to be with Spike's wife, and I didn't mean anything negative by it. Did she hear it?
She did hear it.
She
was a little hurt by that.
She was hurt. See, well, Kelly hurt me.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly said everybody wanted Spike, so don't feel bad.
Everybody wanted
it's
Spike. All the women
Spike's
want Spike.
It's a pushover. Anything you tell him to do.
That's right. He's totally whipped. I want the most whipped guy.
He'll come over, do the dishes, do the laundry. I mean, all the things that I never do, Spike.
So you'll come home and the whole house will be clean, the yard raked, garage, sparkly.
Yeah.
You guys are acting like that's a bad thing. You guys are acting like it's, what a loser I am that I actually will get off my ass and do something around the house and help out.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that's why they're fighting.
And I'm not saying it out loud.
I thought it was your animal magnetism. No, it's your.
Nothing turns a woman on like not having to do dishes or laundry.
Yeah, amen.
I tell you what, man. You want to talk about an aphrodisiac? No, no, honey, I got this.
Yep,
relax.
Those are the words. No, 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 I got it. You can say that for any activity, and you are golden.
Yep. See, that doesn't work that way in my house. It's a sign of weakness. You have to bicker over who's going to do it, and you have to win some of the time. And you have to storm out angry a bunch too. Otherwise, you are nothing.
That's why it's going to be a cool weekend when we finally do this.
My wife, can I give you an example?
Sure.
My wife orders things mail order. I don't understand. She's not like Melissa. She doesn't like, empty out the home shopping warehouse. But Lisa, that's what you told me.
Never.
Okay. Okay, he doesn't want to say it on the radio. So anyway,
the home shopping truck has never, ever, once delivered anything.
But you know what I mean. She buys,
she buys a lot of catalogs.
Okay, that's not classy enough. I got it. So anyway, my wife orders like goofy stuff. She ordered a pair of shoes the other day online. The shoes come. Mm-hmm. she's looking at them like she's in the store. And I know the odds are 99% she's going to return them. And I think these shoes, like, were made by some little kids in some tiny country.
Make the shoes!
And then they were put together for a nickel and shipped over here, and marked up like 5,000%. Mm-hmm. My wife saw them online, said, well, I might want to try those. So they were shipped across the country in some truck to her. She opens them up, and she's going to send them back. Just so annoying, and I hate to see her waste the Earth's resources that way. But that's not the thing that bothers me the most. She ordered, like, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 6 years ago. I don't know when it was. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
She ordered I don't know if anyone has ever had one of these. I've never heard of it. When it came, it sat there in a box, and she told me to deal with it, and I refused for months.
Okay.
She ordered a mushroom log. Do you even know what that is?
Is this an edible product?
No.
I've got my suspicions.
It's like seahorses. Add water.
It's like a chia pet for mushrooms.
It's a chia pet mushroom log. It's a log that's got these plugs in the side of it.
Uh-huh.
There'll be people listening who will want to buy this afterwards. Don't ask me. I don't know where it came from.
Well, you got to use one to sell them, right? Slightly used. Well, barely touched.
It's a mushroom log. Okay, and she said, plant that for me. And I said, I'm not planting. You ordered it. It's your project. I'm not planting that for you.
Okay.
So you can see we have a slightly different relationship.
Yeah.
Bend over. I'll plant something.
There you go.
Sorry. I'll give you the last 30 seconds of your life.
No, I'm just kidding.
What I need is one of those wands that, like, they had in Men in Black that erases the last 30 seconds.
Neuralizer.
Okay, she doesn't remember any of it. So, but I mean, she's ordering something and then ordering me to get into whatever stupid hobby it is, like in this case, gardening.
Okay.
Which I have helped her so many times in the garden, and if there were any appreciation, I would enjoy doing it. But I don't. What I get is, you did that wrong. That's bad.
Oh,
you can't do anything right.
I hate that.
And so then, don't expect me to keep helping. Fair?
Yeah. If it's not pleasurable.
So, so she says, plant that. And I ignore her for literally 2 months. And I say, plant it yourself. You ordered it. It sits there.
Neither one of you guys know the P word? Neither one of you just say, please plant that? You don't use those?
My wife said please once.
What did she want you to do then?
So long ago, I can't remember. I think she was in the birthing room at the time.
Yeah, you kind of have.
Die.
Please die, I think it was.
Compromised position.
So it sits there, and finally, last weekend, she made it, like, she decided to make it an issue. And we're both alpha.
Yeah,
and that's what we do. And you don't. And I mean, the priest who married us advised us, you two should not get married.
What?
He did. I told you this before. You're both alpha. Both of you has to insist on winning. They had me fill out one of these,
sure,
you know, Catholic questionnaires,
uh-huh,
as to your compatibility, and we got the lowest score he'd ever seen.
Out of a possible scale of 100, you got a 7.
But see, I feel that our working those things out over the years has made us, like, love each other more than most couples.
Sure.
Because most couples play. They play on the surface. They hide their true feelings. They're whipped.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually get anything out in the open. Doesn't happen with me and Lisa. It's right out in the open.
Yeah, today it is.
Yeah. So so she buys this stupid mushroom log. Supposedly, mushrooms grow off it and you eat them.
Okay.
She knows I don't like mushrooms.
You know what,
she loves mushrooms.
Okay.
So making me plant this is like, you know, why should I? I mean, I'd love to help her out. I'd love to do something for her if it were going to be appreciated.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But
okay,
it's not going to be appreciated. It's like, do this. You're a loser. You're not doing this.
And you did it wrong.
And
you
did it wrong after.
You did it wrong.
So finally, last weekend, she makes it an issue. And I, the dirty secret in our relationship is, if she really pushes hard enough, I will bend over like you. I will do it.
Okay.
Because it's just, finally, I actually run the equation of, this has been 66.4 hours of misery.
How much more grief?
It would take me 10 minutes to do the stupid thing she asked. And finally I go, okay, I will do, because she was pouting, she was throwing a tantrum.
Okay, so I do this stuff ahead of time and skip the 66 hours of grief, but that makes me less of a man?
It just makes your life boring. So,
fair enough.
So I open the box. Now, this box has been sitting there for 3 months.
Let me guess, it's covered with mushrooms.
No, in fact, the first thing I open is the instructions that tell me, number one, welcome to your new mushroom log.
Right.
It's portobello mushrooms will grow out of this thing.
Sweet.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, right on.
Welcome to your new mushroom log. Number one, please do this as soon as you receive it.
Uh-oh. The spores dry up, probably.
The spores, maybe. This may not be anything now.
Yeah.
And then, but then there's this whole long instructions of what to do with the mushroom log.
Sure, if you want optimal return.
What you do is first you take the log and you soak it in a tub for 24 hours and you weigh it down so it gets thoroughly waterlogged.
Saturate, sure.
Then you stand it upright and you cover it with plastic to keep it in a kind of a hothouse environment for about 5 days.
Sure.
Because she had told me, just go out in the backyard, dig a hole, and plant it.
And that would probably work here. I mean, they sell this to people in Arizona where you've got to do all this to get mushrooms.
And we have the little townhouse apartment with the little yard now, it's acceptable to do that. But I soak it. I've set the soaker going.
Gotcha.
And I said, you know, you could have opened it when you ordered it. You got it. You could have opened it and read the instructions that said do it right away.
If it were a puppy, where would you be right now?
You'd be dead.
2 months in the box. You're still fine, by the way.
You think the mushroom log will still grow?
Yes, come on.
If it doesn't, you know my wife will do.
She'll send it back.
She'll return it for a full refund. She'll return it to Japan or wherever it came from.
That's fine. It sits in a warehouse for months before it sends it to you. It's fine.
Aaron in Seattle, hello.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, we spoke a couple weeks ago. I spent a lot of time in Japan, and I've seen these before. My mother-in-law has grown them more than once. They have two or three different species over there, and they're really common, and they actually work. I was really surprised.
They should work very well in the Pacific Northwest.
I would think so. We get a lot of mushrooms you can eat. You might as well be able to produce them that you can. So.
And we get some mushrooms that make the bears do strange things in the middle of the night, too, don't we?
Mad season, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Aaron. Well, I'll let you know how it goes, and if I can figure it out, I'll put up a link on the website for any other wacky wives out there who want to get one of these things.
I think it's going to be a golden thing for you there. She likes mushrooms. What's it going to take you? Come on, get it done.
Yeah, she'll put them in stuff I have to eat, too.
Oh.
Because.
And if you want to, you know, score a few points, say, honey, this is the week to plant the mushroom log. If I'd planted that 2 weeks ago, they'd all be dead.
They'd be dead.
That freeze would have killed that mushroom log quicker than can be. This is the perfect time to plant a mushroom
Mushroom log time.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to do the wife swap? I doubt it. I think that it's a disaster waiting to happen. If you've seen that show, it's a disaster for everyone who does it. Why would we want to do it?
Name the most popular shows on television right now.
Life Swap.
Well, I was thinking
not the Olympics.
I was thinking more. Well, you know, you're
Survivor.
Survivor, which can be a disaster. I mean,
CSI.
People love disasters.
Right.
Your reality shows. Your Nick and Jessica. Your Osbournes. You know, they love train wrecks. People love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but we'd have to deal with the real life aspects of the train wreck. Like, I probably ticked off your wife yesterday. Kelly kind of offended me.
She's fine.
She's okay?
She's fine.
All right.
She knows you're just afraid of her.
Who are you going to, and what are you going to do while we do this?
Watch and laugh my ass off.
You could maybe be the roving reporter and go different places with
you. Oh, yeah, I could. Yeah. With a video camera.
Well, I think you're right. This is probably doomed. I mean, it's probably not a good plan.
Hmm. You're going to worry about your wife Kelly being with some other man for a weekend, aren't you? She's going to come back and go, wow, he's really huge.
No, I think my wife can take care of herself.
All right.
I mean, she's a fender offer if there ever was one. She'll hold her own.
Oh, and I love a fender offer. That's what I've got.
Yeah.
All right.
I do think it needs to be random at this point, though, because
you draw a name out of a hat.
I think
it's the only fair way to do it, because we'll never agree.
You said that yesterday. Nobody, you know, the luck of the draw. Let fate decide how you spend your weekend. The weather
started getting rough. I don't think they ran into any difficulties like that with Bassmaster Classic.
But it was a little rough on the last day.
Was it?
Yeah.
A little wind. On the phone with us is a guy we spent probably a half hour discussing yesterday. His name is Luke Clausen. He's in Florida en route to another event in Alabama. Luke won the Bassmaster Classic.
This is the Super Bowl of bass fishing. It's the biggest tournament of the year.
And people came out of the woodwork like worms on a wet lawn at dusk when we started talking about him yesterday. So proud that even though we couldn't win the Super Bowl of Super Bowls, that we won the Super Bowl of bass fishing.
It's unprecedented for a Washingtonian to do that.
Luke Clausen in Florida, welcome.
How are you doing?
Very good. Now, Spokane is your home.
Yeah, I grew up in Spokane. I'm actually in Florida now. I spend most of my springs back east here fishing.
How excited are you still? Is it a high?
Yeah, it's definitely a high. It hasn't really sunk in. It's kind of almost more overwhelming. I can't keep my voicemail from getting full, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now and a lot of opportunities.
Of course, the opportunities include lots of endorsements. We were surprised to hear how big the whole bass industry is, and it's a sport that's growing dramatically, not just as a sport, but as a spectator sport, as something that people like to see on television, and they like to analyze it the way all sporting events are analyzed. We quickly got some education yesterday that bass fishing and competitive fishing is not so much a matter of luck. If it were a matter of luck, the same top guys wouldn't keep winning. What would you say to the average fisherman listening right now that would maybe take him one step closer to being a pro? Give us one, maybe if you were one best tip.
You know, I think it probably comes from a lot of the reason that Washington actually was a great learning ground for me, and that's just keeping an open mind. I fish a lot of different waters, and you know, fish are fish, but you never really know what they're doing, and they change day in and day out, so you're constantly trying to discover what's going on right now, and keeping an open mind, not really thinking that you know what they're going to be doing actually helps you a lot.
Do you read the wind, the water, the time of day? Do you study up on the species and find out what they're... I mean, how much science goes into this?
Really, there's not as much science. More of it comes from experience. And there's so many variables that are included, the time of year, time of day, water temperatures, weather conditions, barometric pressures. There's a lot of variables that go into it, and none of them are absolutes either.
You know, Luke, I'm getting the sense that you don't want to give up any of your secrets.
That's okay.
I'm getting the sense that a fisherman, that's one of the things you guys are known for.
I have easier answers to give you, but there is no true answer on how to go be a great fisherman.
Do you feel that it's maybe a bit of a sixth sense then?
Yeah, there's definitely something to that. You know, a lot of people that fish also hunt and are good at anything they do in the outdoors. I think there's a lot of those types of people tend to be successful in whatever they do in the outdoors.
Luke, obviously you got the knack. You got the gift. I understand you don't want to give up any of your secrets. That's fine. But let's talk about sacrifice. What point in your life, because everybody loves fishing from the moment they can grab a pole in with their dad. What moment in your life did you realize that you had the goods to go pro? You're going to have to stop drinking. Drinking and fishing go hand in hand. But if you're going to go pro, you got to stop the suds at sunrise and just concentrate on fishing.
Yeah, drinking and fishing have never really gone hand in hand for me, but it's always been a passion of mine. I've done it all through high school, and I actually won my first boat when I was 17 up there in Washington on Banks Lake, and that's kind of when I realized that I could make more money fishing than I could work, and at that point in my life, it's, you know, continued to grow as I've gotten older also.
What's the difference, say you're stalking a bass in the sand dunes of the Potholes Reservoir near Moses Lake or on Lake Okeechobee? What's the things you do the same? And what do you do different to
not
get those
tell you anything.
Big Florida bass?
He's not going to tell you anything, Joe.
Joe keeps casting.
He wants you to not catch those fish so they're there for him. Isn't that right, Luke?
You know, every lake has its own characteristics, and every lake's a little bit different. You know, like Pottle is just a great fishery, probably one of the best fisheries in Washington right now. You know, has a good bass population, and has its own characteristics. Fish do things differently. They have brush and sand to deal with there. Florida, it's a tremendous amount of vegetation and miles of it.
Are you a 4-inch worm or a 6-inch worm man, would you say, more?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I've probably known more for finesse fishing, a lot of smaller worms and light line and that type of stuff. But, you know, in Florida, that's not always the case.
Salted or unsalted?
Salted.
Soft?
Finally.
Threw you a bone.
Soft?
Soft or hard?
I'm not sure what these questions are alluding to.
Yeah, they were talking about your work.
I understand you're married, Luke.
I'm a bass fisherman.
You know, Joe is a bass fisherman, and he's like sitting at the pond looking for you to toss him a larvae. Give him something.
You're like a god. I mean, I've been using the 6-inch purple worm in the potholes for years, and up there at Steamboat Rock and Banks, I use the 4-inch kind of speckly brown worm. Am I using the right stuff?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good to me. Both those are good choices for those places.
Those are good choices, yeah.
Luke, you said you realized...
Wait, let him finish. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you keep asking me questions about it. It just kind of goes back to every place. It's totally different that we go to. And, you know, that's the beauty of Washington. Fishing for so many different species, too. I've just learned a tremendous amount by growing up fishing there. Fishing for salmon, steelhead, all the different slimers in the winter, and fishing for bass in the summer.
I consider the deep diving Rapala the best one lure you can have in this state. Could you tell me one that's better? I know you know one that's better.
Oh, if you're going to Banks Lake, it's hard to beat a quarter-ounce Hot Lips Express in the spring.
All right, we're beating them. We're finally getting somewhere.
Crawfish pattern.
All right.
Thank you very much. Luke Clausen in Florida. Luke, now that you've won the Bassmaster Classic, of course, you're at the top of your game. Is there a higher mountain to climb?
Well, you know, there's always more accomplishments. I won the FLW Championship about a year and a half ago, so now I have two major championships, probably the Super Bowl and the World Series of Bass Fishing, you know, the two biggest events out there. And I've never won a regular season event, and I definitely like to win some of those, and obviously Angler of the Year titles are definitely something I strive for.
Do you fly cast as well?
No, that's pretty much handicapping yourself. I'm not very good at that. It'd be pretty dangerous for me to try it.
And that's a whole different arena than fly casting. It's not lures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tying flies. It's a whole other area, and mostly they fish for trout and things like that, right?
Yeah, for the most part, trout and other salmonoid species.
Do you like the trout and the salmonoids, or do you pretty much you specialize in bass?
You know, I haven't really fished for them for some time. When I was up in Washington, especially in college, in the winter it was too cold to fish for bass, so we'd go out, we always called it slimer fishing, we'd get bored and go catch trout or salmon or steelhead for something to do, but never really had a passion for it like bass fishing.
Do you think that the sport is growing? Do you think we're headed for the 24-hour fish network?
Oh, it's definitely growing, you know, with the involvement of people like ESPN and Fox Sports Net. It's getting a lot more attention throughout the country, and it's always been big in the South, but it's getting a lot more recognition throughout the rest of the country.
If he invited you, would you go hunting with Dick Cheney?
Yeah, I'd probably go.
Of course you would.
Right?
Yeah,
it's an honor. He's the safest hunter in the country.
Well,
today.
Right now he's pretty safe. I think he's shooting with blanks, and there's Secret Service guys that are going to knock out his birds from now on for him. That's what I think is going to happen.
Whatever it takes.
Luke Clausen in Florida, congratulations on your amazing success.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Luke Clausen hails from Spokane, won the Bassmaster Classic. First West Coast guy, I think, to do so.
Yeah.
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see.
He tossed you a worm at one point.
Yeah.
But you know what? That was like every other sports interview. It's like interviewing in an NFL store about how did you make that play happen.
Oh, you just work hard and the things just fall into place. So, I don't.
But you knew where to cut. What did you do? And just leave it for
sometimes things just happen for you. You're lucky in the grace of God. And
every leg's different.
Every leg different. And, fish are fish.
He is the Sean Alexander of fishing. I mean, that guy's the MVP right now.
I just look for a good worm. I look for the best worm I can find.
that's the God and the bass, really.
And those are the very same holes I'm dragging worms through is where he trained and, became the best ever.
Wow.
That is inspiring.
You're brushed with greatness.
Yeah.
You know, the real nugget he could have given us had we gone after it. You know, he's married. How do you tell a girl that you're going to make more money fishing than working and have her stay with you?
To wait for the lean
right,
time.
Right.
You sort of asked it a little bit, but you focused on the drinking thing, which one of the reasons he's successful.
Is he never
drinking
that
fish.
Right.
Milwaukee, Lynchburg, Bordeaux, friends. Been making the bars, lots of big money, helping white people dance.
In the movies, she lit up the screen as Steve Martin's beautiful daughter in Father of the Bride. And in real life, her husband, Brad Paisley, has a number one song on the Billboard country chart this week. Our guest, Kimberly Williams Paisley. And Kimberly, is not only a lovely actress, she's also directing the show on ABC. See two new episodes of According to Jim. The second one is directed by Kimberly. Kimberly Williams Paisley, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I hope you weren't playing that alcohol song because you think it's about me.
I hope not. I mean, it's not. That's for you to decide.
Oh, okay.
You know how that goes. Kimberly, congratulations on the big directing, and it is not your directing debut, but this is a big shot directing, right?
Well, yeah, this is the first time that many people will see it. I did a short film that I directed, but this is my prime time directing debut, and I actually got paid for this one. The other one put me in debt.
Would it be safe to say that there must be elements of you that are a control freak if you have this huge successful acting career, but you have to get behind the camera?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I like to do as much of it as I can. I was nervous about doing it actually because I've been on the show for 5 years. We're in our fifth season, and someone else has always been directing. But it was great to be able to turn around and order people around.
So, what do you want to do? And it's a loaded trick question, but what did you want to do differently from the way the directing was already going, or did you just want the keys to the car and you want
to
do it the
same? Yeah, I wanted the keys to the car. It's a show it's a well-oiled machine at this point. Everybody really knows how to do it. They know what they're doing. It's just a matter of allowing the actors and the writers to be as creative as possible and try to keep things moving and make sure everyone's comfortable. We had a guest star, Julie Newmar, who was Catwoman in the Batman series. So part of my job, I think, was making her feel comfortable and welcome and, working out the camera positions and everything like that. It was really, really fun and so cool to be able to see the show from that perspective for the first time.
Now, Julie Newmar and Jim have a conflict going on in real life, yes or no?
Yes.
It is a real conflict. And the episode about a difficult neighbor is about the real Julie. I mean, this has been played out in the tabloids.
Yeah.
How did they must have obviously worked it out, or they couldn't make fun of it, right? It'd be like when Dick Cheney goes on Saturday Night Live.
I think they're still sort of in the process of working it out, and this was part of trying to make that happen. And I think they were both ready to at least make fun of themselves. Uh-huh. So I thought it was really brave. That they faced it head on like that, and the episode is all about their feud.
Were there any difficulties on the set?
There were not between them. No, they were on their best behavior, and Jim was thrilled that Julie was there, and Julie was thrilled that she was so welcomed. And I think it was a really good thing for them both.
Still,
the difficulties were just that it's a really big episode. We have a big stunt in it. We have a dog in it, and then this whole other story we have to tell about Julie and Jim. So it's a big episode, but I think it's a really good one.
Your husband's got the number one record in the country right now.
Yes, he does.
A duet with Dolly Parton. Do you feel threatened by Dolly at all? She's pretty hot.
Did I?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, he seems to have a thing for her.
I do. I've always loved
You've
Dolly
always loved
Parton.
Dolly Parton,
yeah,
huh?
I'm from Tennessee. Maybe
yeah,
that's
I think
why.
She's very appealing. And
I love Dolly. And I got to watch them record when she came in and sang the harmony on that song. And it was incredible. I mean, tears were in her eyes just watching her. She is such a pro and such a beautiful person, and she has such a wonderful voice. It was just awesome.
What's it like
Dolly
being...
Dolly Parton was the only country star that I knew of before I met Brad.
Huh. Oh, yeah, and you were... So you, I was going to say, what's it like being married to someone who's absolutely at the top of his profession when you're both, you know, in show business? Is there any at all, anything... I mean, at some point... Do those needs conflict somehow? And if not yet, but eventually when they do, how will you handle it?
I don't think we conflict because we don't do the same thing. It's not the same business, really. They're similar businesses, so we understand each other. But I'm not trying to be a singer, and Brad's not trying to be an actor. So right. It's not like there's a competition going on at all.
See, my wife and I, it would be who makes more money. Who's getting more ink this week? It'd be great.
Yeah,
we'd be bickering.
They don't have this problem.
Yeah.
Hey, Kimberly,
when he makes more money, I just take his credit card. It's fun.
That's how it works, babe. Hey, you made a joke about when we started about our opening introduction music, but have you inspired any of Brad's music that he's caught to?
I believe I have.
Is it Me Neither?
No. He wrote that actually way before we met.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because that's one of the best and funniest country songs of all time.
Yeah.
Now, you say you were not big into country music.
No, I grew up in New York without a country station, so.
So how did you meet him?
Yeah, I didn't really, Dolly Parton, seriously, was like the only person I listened to.
How'd you guys meet?
That's what?
How did you guys meet then?
Did we meet? Brad called me and he asked me to do a video of his, which was actually a line because it was just a pickup line, really, because we were already dating.
By
the time
my video.
Yeah. I finally did do a video. Well, I'd always wanted to do a video, so I thought, well, great, that'd be awesome. And then, you know, we talked on the phone and we talked for like 2 weeks before we even met each other, and then the video sort of fell away, like it didn't come up again. And then we went out to dinner, and then we were dating, and finally I said, hey, what about that video you said you wanted me to do? And he said, oh yeah, there really isn't one, but we're gonna get to that eventually.
Kimberly, I gotta admit that since I first saw you on the screen in Father of the Bride, I've had a huge crush on you. I think you're one of the most adorable actresses anywhere ever.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And I'm really happy to see that you guys are happily married and doing great. I know it must be tough with Brad touring so much that he's probably away from home a lot, and when there's not a man around the house, it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get done. If you ever need your lawn mowed, hedges trimmed, garbage taken out, I'd be happy to come over
Spike
and volunteer.
Spike will fly to Los Angeles to be your yard boy.
In a heartbeat.
Spike, thank you so much.
Yeah,
pool,
thank you.
You know, chase away gophers, whatever you need done, I'm there for
the
you.
Do the dishes.
Do the dishes?
Yeah, whatever.
That'd be
you want.
Awesome. I could use some help with the dishes, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like to work shirtless. Hope you don't mind that.
Well, fabulous. What time are you coming?
I'll check his tour schedule and be right down there.
Okay.
And now, if you had a choice, we actually talked to Kelly Martin recently, who got a directorial debut too. If you had, she said she would give up acting and direct. If you had a choice, would you also give up acting and just get behind the camera?
I think I would, actually. Believe it or not, I think it's so creative. I really love doing it, and you know, hey, as a director, I could always throw myself in as an actor once in a while.
If you could direct a movie about anything, right up to King Kong or Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, or whatever, obviously I'm thinking of male-oriented movies, probably, and you wouldn't.
Maybe
Star Wars.
Star Wars. You know, that's what I always would be my dreams. If you could direct anything, say the sequel to anything, what would you direct?
I thought Walk the Line was such a great movie. I think that something like that would be really cool to direct, a sequel to Walk the Line. Hey, why not?
A great historical of some great musician like Ray Charles or Johnny Cash.
Yeah, why not? And then I could have the musical influence of my husband. He could help me out.
Number one country song on in the background now, Brad Paisley. Kimberly, very nice chatting with you. Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Don't cry for me down here. She's a gold digger, way over time, that digs on me.
What is gold digging exactly? When does it cross the line to gold digging? And basically, from the other side of seriously picking someone who's got some financial planning, someone who's got some potential, someone who's not going to leave you barefoot, pregnant, living outside of a, you know, of a decrepit mobile home where you can't even pay the utilities. Because that can happen, too. That's a bad pick. You would agree that's a
bad
pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But I'm not gonna let you pigeonhole me into a corner by forcing me to
I want to pigeonhole you into the
beautiful mansion.
Into a beautiful mansion.
No,
hey.
No.
I don't want to do that.
A stately estate with yard workers and a beautiful poo and ponds.
Wouldn't mind being pigeonholed there, would you?
No.
Keep going with the description of her house. I love that.
It's got 47 rooms, 7 sliding boards, 1 into a room filled only with mattresses and whipped cream. It's hard not to call her lucky.
Now, that would be extremism, okay? That's not where I'm pushing you.
Yeah, but see, you're saying that because I value financial stability, that means that's a level of gold digging.
It is a level of gold digging.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Well, because the definition of gold...
It's copper digging, whatever.
Right.
Whatever you want to say. It's some form of money digging.
The definition of gold digging is using someone for their wealth.
Is there a definition of gold digging in the dictionary, Eric? Or in your dictionary head?
Well, my understanding is that indeed it is looking at someone purely for their economic potential and not love or romance.
Yeah.
You don't have to gold dig, but there's nothing wrong with leveraging your high profile in the media to find a very desirable
That's
man.
That's the negative slang. Right. That's the negative slang version of gold digging.
Right.
Because there's another version of gold digging in the dictionary, and that is someone who goes out into the hills and prospects for gold.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that person.
Someone who puts
They're not
effort.
Trying to leech off an old man. That's gold digging.
Effort into potential financial reward.
Right.
So in between There is smart financial planning. There is, and you can call it, you can say linguistically.
I'll let you call it what you want.
Right. You can say you don't like the word gold digging, so I'll say it this way.
Because it's not.
Okay, well, that's immaterial. But so, that's linguistics.
No, I mean, it's not. It's
words have dictionary meanings, they have slang meanings, they have technical meanings, they have exact meanings, and then they have meanings, whatever you want to put on them when you're using them. That's why our language is so colorful. Let's not call it gold digging. Let's say two equally attractive hunks mm-hmm. are interested in you, and one of them is making some coin. The other one doesn't look like he's ever going to make some coin. Let's say the one that's making some coin, they're kind of a toss-up, because the one that's making some coin... a couple things you don't like, but he is making the coin. The one that's not making the coin, a couple things you like better than the guy making the coin.
Then I pick him.
Automatically, you discriminate against the money.
Look, I've watched you guys talk about your marriages, so I know what I'm in for, and I am not going to sign up for something with someone that I'm just kind of lukewarm about.
Oh, I didn't mean lukewarm. You're hot. You're red hot for both these guys. But you're just slightly more red hot for the guy with no money and no future.
No future. Now, that's something different. Because...
Well, if you ain't gold digging, you may be headed for no future.
Maybe he's not even the Orkin man. Maybe he's like the third company that hardly anybody calls to get rid of their pests.
They're going to be roach busters.
Say you got two guys you love. One of them's a Seattle Seahawk. One of them sells peanuts at the Seahawks game.
Uh-huh. That's a great analogy, Joe.
Peanuts.
Peanut man?
Absolutely. Because, look, ambition is important. If he's the best darn peanut thrower out there, then I'll take him if I have stronger feelings for him than the football player.
So you're willing to marry a poor loser at life, loser at the game of money.
You are the worst translator of what I say ever, because I could say, oh, this is blue, and you'd say, oh, no, baby, let's... Eric, look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Okay, how about if he's a second-rate peanut guy?
But he's hot and he's wonderful, and he's a sweet human being.
Look, it's not that complicated, guys. Whoever I have strong feelings for wins in either situation.
Okay, that's a mistake.
And you're wrong.
And
okay.
The reason I say that's a mistake, are you going to let me explain,
absolutely,
or are you going to just dismiss me out of hand?
I'll do both.
It's a bad habit
I'll
to get
do
into.
Both, but you go first.
Seems to be working well for us so far.
Because here's the deal. You have your choice. I don't believe in one soulmate. I think that's
malarkey. I agree with you.
There's 6 billion people on the planet. I could love probably 500 or 600 million of them.
But how many could love you?
Well, then it narrows it down even further. But we're still in the millions. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you get to choose. I mean, you get to choose wisely. You get to choose well.
You could make it work with any number of mates.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay. Could you?
You're right. No, you're right. And
so so if some loser happens to be the 1,000th customer to walk through the door, and you go, I'm feeling this feeling. That's a woman's weakness. I think you shouldn't listen to that.
Okay. Well, if he's a loser and is. Jobless and you know, doesn't have any ambition to get off his butt.
He has lots of ambition. Okay. He just fails at it.
Yeah, my fajita stands.
Then you're right,
baby.
You're right. Yeah. I would be an idiot to say that I would marry someone because if they didn't have the potential to at least
make you a decent living.
Not make me a decent living.
Yeah.
Provide.
I'm going to work.
Well, what about when the...
I'll just bring him into work.
You're going to bring the baby into work?
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
She hasn't really thought this through yet. And we're forcing her into this corner.
I appreciate that about you guys. Yeah.
But you're in no better spot than now to have your pick of great
you
men.
You are the most eligible bachelorette in Seattle.
That's what I don't like, though, because...
Look at these letters. I can't believe... I mean, these are unsolicited. We haven't asked anybody to do this.
I know.
And the reason why I gave you those letters is because it made
me
think...
She wants to make them stop. That's why she gave them to
me. No. I'm very flattered by them, but it makes me think, gosh, what am I saying on the air to sound so desperate? And then I realized...
I'm making you sound desperate.
No, it's 7:46. You said it'd be nice if anyone walked through the door.
That's true.
Damn it.
Dear Casey, I would love to meet you. I don't know, but you seem very real and sincere. I don't know if it's all right on the job to talk to you this way. I'm sure you get lots of email this way. But I have to speak my mind. Have a great day.
You seem so real, as opposed to the inflatable girls I usually...
No. And these are really nice people, too. These are genuine...
I poke fun. It takes a lot of courage to write
it. Dear Casey, I always listen to the show, and I really like to hear you. Thanks for being so great. When I listen to you, I always think you're heavy because you're always talking about insecurities about your weight.
But then I logged on to the internet.
And you're skinnier than the bean bowl.
I would love to take you out sometime. I could trip on one of your fallen hairs and tumble head over heels for you. That's a real letter.
That's poetry, right?
That's beautiful, man. He's a keeper.
He's a linesman.
Dear Casey, I have recently found myself back in the singles boat. Perhaps you and I are both afraid of being hurt.
Oh.
I am not some psycho who does things like this all the time. I'm skipping over the letter.
Yeah,
no, I'm a psycho who does this only for you.
I'm in psycho denial.
They're all wonderful guys, I'm sure.
They are.
But it's freaking you out a little
bit. It's freaking me out. Here's why. If I can just explain why. Because people only hear a portion of who I am on the air, and it worries me because I read these letters, and I'm simultaneously flattered and horrified that, oh, they have no idea
how
I really am.
I think you've been more guarded than we are so far, but you're coming out of your shell.
I'm trying.
I think that people actually, and I had someone say this to me this weekend, people come up to me and go, I know you so well. And they, you know, granted, we're kind of an exaggeration of ourselves,
yeah.
But we're not an exaggeration of somebody else.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a magnifying glass trained
yeah,
on us.
Yeah.
Dear Casey, how are you this wonderful morning? I know this email may seem a little lame and cheesy, but I couldn't go to bed tonight without emailing you and saying hi.
Besides, until they balance out my meds, I'm having trouble sleeping.
I am sure you are asking yourself, who is this freak emailing me? He's a psychic, too.
That would upset me if I weren't so well
I'm sure
medicated.
He's wonderful. I'm sure all you guys are wonderful, but it's freaking her out a little bit. So, you know, be careful with these letters. I have a sextatic weekend, one guy said.
Sextatic?
Sextastic weekend.
Yeah, sextastic. Oh.
Little does he know that's not a possibility.
Again,
next Tuesday night.
Why do I seem desperate at 8:09?
And this person says, next Tuesday night, I'll be at the corner of such and such and such and such.
You're kidding.
No, I'm
and
not
I'll buy you your first beer.
He's
only going to buy the first beer. Please keep my name and contact information off you. This was actually a very nice letter.
The, you know,
a guy who sounded like, you know,
yeah,
he had a high station in life.
These are all really great people, but it makes me a little bit, I'm starting to get a little bit more introverted when I meet men in real life because I think, what if they like me at the outset and then they get to know me more and they realize I'm not really...
Look, that's just being in the game.
Yeah.
If it blows up, you learn something from it and you move on.
Yeah,
if you never
true.
Take a chance, you
I
never
know.
Learn anything.
I know, you're right.
Ray.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
First of all, I agree with you. I think Casey is a gold digger. But I think she doesn't like that term, so maybe you should say panning for gold.
She's panning for gold.
But
she's a prospector.
When did I say that?
Here's the reality. Because you can go on to any of these profiles on any of these dating sites. Women will not date for less than what they make. If they make 50 a year, they're not going to date a guy that makes less than 50. They have a bar. The bar is set. And I don't know if you call that digging for gold or panning for gold.
Well, but I just said 10 minutes ago that I wasn't like that, and if somebody did make less than me and I had feelings
for
them...
I don't think you would.
But have I... See, this is what I'm talking about. Have you ever met me before?
Yeah, actually I have.
And did I, in that conversation, say, well, I'm a gold digger, it sure is nice to meet you today.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't that kind of conversation.
I mean, this is what I worry about. It's like, gosh, you know, I say...
You're a fine person. I'm not debating that.
There's nothing wrong with gold digging. That's the whole point we're making here.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with admitting that a little bit of the finances plays into the picture.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. That's what Bob's saying.
The only thing I'm trying to trap you in is that anyone who denies that finances play a part of the picture is... not quite being honest
yeah.
with himself.
No, I agree, but okay. I would
women
date someone.
That's all, that's it, that's it. You, I win, you lose, thank you.
Women have a need to feel secure, and finances is a part of that.
All right, thank you. Sandy is in Bothell. Sandy, doesn't financial aspects of a potential mate weigh into the picture for everybody?
Well, sure it does.
Of course
it does. Responsibility is attractive in and of itself. By itself, it's not. But Casey's a smart girl. She knows that she wants to have stability. It's just the way you're terming it.
Yes, I know.
As a gold digger.
Thank
I'm
you.
Baiting her.
You're so good at it, too.
Thank you, Sandy. Here's Joan. Joan.
Hey, Casey, this whole thing about gold digging, that part is just superficial. And women who are looking for a man just for what they're how much they make.
I never said just gold dig and pay
it too.
I never
men
said
look at a woman
John.
Based on what she looks like.
Sandy.
Good
and
point.
The
good
men
point.
Who are looking for a trophy girlfriend, I put in the same category as women who are looking for a man with a butt.
I agree.
But Joan,
and that one letter, I'm sorry, this is what made me call. The one letter where the guy said, "Oh, I listened to you and you sounded like you were heavy. Oh, but then I looked on the internet and saw you and now, oh, I think you're hot." It's like, what a jerk. I mean, he's not. If he gets the impression that you're heavy, it's like, oh, well, she's not attractive.
Yeah.
And then he sees your picture, and then suddenly, oh, yeah, now I want to meet her. Well, that's just as superficial as anybody's looking for a guy who makes
He's
that.
Just analyzing scientific data. She's in a small room. It didn't sound like there was much echo in there. That's
right.
All.
Exactly. Big voice. I'm a soundologist.
Thank you, Joan. Joan's just like you. She refuses to acknowledge what I was
like
really
her.
Saying. I never said pick someone just for their money. In fact, that would be completely wrong.
Well, then I'll give you that. Yeah, it matters in a sense.
All right, Rick the Bouncer, hello.
Okay, Bob, I want to make this clear one time. So
one
you can
time,
agree or
baby.
Disagree.
Go ahead.
Now, I work around a lot of superstars, and girls actually come in there, and that's all they're looking for men with money. Casey is not going to marry Dan. Why should she marry Dan?
She shouldn't. That's my only point.
I got a master's degree. I'm moving furniture doing security. So she married Dan. Why should you marry Dan? I got girls that come to the nightclub, and all they do is look for people with money, and they don't have nothing. So I'm going to come to her defense. So you can say I'm wrong or whatever.
Yeah, but
you're
just
say.
Agreeing with what I said, Rick. I never said gold digging just for money is a bad thing. I said the idea that any financial concern is bad because that's gold digging is wrong. And gold digging is like all things, it has various levels.
Absolutely.
You know, my wife made a bad decision. I was not. I had no potential. I was a disc
not
jockey.
You didn't. I don't agree with
she,
that. Not
she won the lotto by accident.
She seen potential in you, just like my wife seen potential in me.
Look,
she
I
spent
was
more time in the creek with you than
I was the thousandth customer to walk through the door when she was 29. She just said, "I need a man quick. I'm about to be 30." That's what happened. See, Casey can plan better than that.
Casey, one more thing.
Yeah.
Anybody email you like that? Don't bite. Don't go for it. Because I've worked at some of the clubs around y'all, and I see a lot of them guys coming to me. I'm just saying, don't bite.
Okay.
Anybody email you like that, that's kind of creepy. So, I mean, I'm not saying they're probably good people, but I wouldn't bite on none of the kind of stuff like that.
Hey, Rick, you say you work around a lot of superstars in some of the clubs, some of the pro athletes that come to town, some of the musicians, entertainers that come in there. How do they meet good girls? How do they meet girls who aren't after their money?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the honest God truth. When AI, or when I was hanging out with Patrick, or Vin, or Jerome James, or any of them guys, they know when they're in the VIP room, they already know before they even come apart what they're coming for. And the girls make it pretty clear. I mean, so they pick out what they want, who they want, and who they're not going to mess with. So it's like underground type of, we already know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They know what's going on. We know the deal. They don't want to be with these girls to be with these girls, if you understand what I mean. They ain't going to marry them.
Right.
If you understand where I'm coming from.
I hear you.
Well, you've got sturdy
ankles.
I got ankles.
Something for you here, Casey.
Oh, what? Look at that.
Somebody delivered these to you yesterday.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful bouquet. I've been smelling it for 15 hours. I hope that's not stealing.
It is gorgeous.
Those aren't for me.
They are for you. And the card was sealed, or I would have looked.
May we open it?
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe it's from my parents.
Open it up.
It's from your parents? Flowers?
Seriously, it might be.
That would be sad, but let's see.
Was yesterday a landmark day of some kind?
No, it wasn't, but it could be.
Rick, thank you very much. Nicole says she's always made more money than her husband. Nicole?
Hi, am I on?
You're on.
I've made more since the day I married my husband, and we've been married for 20 years.
A lot more?
A lot more. 2 to 3 times more.
But does he make does he make at least a respectable living? Or is he like 40 and making lattes?
No. He's totally responsible. He works for the city and he has a great job, great benefits. And I look at it, you know, we're a balance. If I was looking for love in the means of money,
right, but
I would have never found it.
All right, that's fine,
good
Nicole.
Point, good point.
And I think that's fine, too.
Yeah.
You would probably have preferred if he was making more, to be honest.
sometimes.
Yeah,
after we had kids, it was hard, but
she's
you know
there's an honest woman right there.
But you married a gold digger.
But let me ask you,
married a gold digger.
I don't know if
he knew he wasn't going to make a dime.
We can't say that was premeditated on his part, but I think it should be. So, Nicole, what if he was like, still trying to get his band going and not making anything, and you were making all the money? You'd resent the heck out of that, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's my point.
I just don't think all women are gold diggers. That
thank you.
My point.
Thank you.
Don't look for the money, look for the love.
I never said all women are gold diggers, first off, so
don't
say I'm wrong about something I never said. I said a little bit of gold digging has to be a part of building a good relationship.
Yeah, a city worker is great. That's a decent salary. That's a respectable job.
You
we
bet.
Just don't want her to wind up with Kevin Federline, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The first God.
And I think you are, the way you're thinking, it's possible. So thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, man.
Really?
Looks good in no shirt.
Just need to open up and stop being such a hard ass. That's my problem. I need to just relax and not worry about it and just meet people.
Quickest way to make this all go away is hunker down with a man. We won't say
yeah,
word.
We don't care
that's
who he
true.
Is. We'll begin judging him immediately, and we'll lay off of you.
From now on, though, if you're going to email Casey, you should just email us all. Get it all.
Get it all. Get show at kzok.com because he's going to show us. All right. This was a secret admirer. Casey, you made a great ski trip. Even better, thanks, your secret admirer.
Oh, that was nice. Well, Eric...
And yet,
is this music necessary?
Yeah, it is, little baby. We hit the slopes together.
That was very... whoever did that, thank you very much. That was very sweet. Very sweet, and they're beautiful.
Narrow it down to like 50, and maybe 20 of those were married.
That's right.
Half of them were female.
Ruth Marie Milliman of Greenville, South Carolina, has certainly led an exciting life. This former South Carolina watermelon queen has worked as a flight attendant, a narcotics officer, and a shopping mall developer. She's an ultra-marathon runner, track coach, mom, and is part of the last tribal council. She's a former survivor, unfortunately. Ruth Marie was voted out 4-2, with only her friend Dan, the former astronaut, standing up for her, and it came down to the crunch time. Ruth was part of the more mature women tribe, if I may call it, but quite a hot gal, as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's kind of sad that the older women tribe seems to get voted out quickly, then the younger women take to sunbathing topless, and that's become that's become a survivor ritual almost.
It has.
Do you resent that at all, Ruth?
Well, I don't resent it. I might even disagree with it slightly, although it is funny. We seem, particularly this season, to not be holding up too well. Although I will say that I have a lot of faith in Cherie. I think she's going to be able to do a good job for us.
But you are hot. I mean, you are something that every gal should aspire to. You with your varied life and most interesting things you've done, and fitness and all of that. What do you think, if you could say, what do you think you would redo again if you had another shot at not getting voted off this week?
Well, I think what I should have done was while Sally was out doing a good job of out-gaming me, while Terry was gone, she saw a crack being based on her friendship with Austin, and she worked that, you know, really well. So while she was doing that, I should have been working more with Austin and Nick just to secure our alliance. We actually had an alliance of five from the very beginning, and 2 weeks ago I was not in jeopardy at Tribal Council. It was between the two young gals, but I think I should have been working harder in Terry's absence. Now, I will say this. He apparently changed his strategy and now is trying to ally with some different folks, so that ought to be interesting to watch. And he may be basing that based on finding the idol. And the original plan was for the five of us to get to the merge. So I'm wondering if he has a good reason for switching up his alliance and going with more towards Sally and Austin. So we'll have to watch and see how that goes.
Ruth Marie, you're an ultra-marathon runner. You have something in common with Joe. He's an ultra-marathon bar eater. And
we all have our special talents.
That's right. Go. What is the ultra part? I've also run some marathons. In fact, ran ran one last year.
Which
yeah.
Which ones have you run?
I've run the Boston Marathon about six times. Seattle, the Goodwill Games once, and I limped.
Portland Marathon.
I limped across the finish line in the Portland Marathon last year with some of the other members of the show. But what is ultra marathon?
Well, I refer to ultra as anything beyond the traditional marathon, the 26.2. But most recently, in the last couple of years, I've run the Marathon des Sables, which is in northern Africa in the Sahara Desert. And it's a 150-mile stage event. But I'd say anything past the marathon is usually referred to as an ultra.
So longer than 26.2 miles.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
150 miles in the sand would be
in
pretty
the desert,
extreme.
In the Sahara.
You've done that?
A little random, isn't it?
You've done 150 miles?
Yeah, it was staged. It was a marathon a day, and one day was 50 miles. And you had to carry your own supplies on
your
back,
but most people, the day after they've run a marathon, can't run their fingers through the Yellow Pages, much less much
so
less run.
Pizza. You bring me food and water.
Wow, that's amazing, Ruth Marie. How much of that do you attribute to fantastic coaching and training, and how much of it is just you're gifted in a sense?
Well, as you well know, being a runner, the training and the coaching is a big part of it. But I think the biggest element is just the will or the desire to train for something like that. I mean, without that element, I don't know that anybody could do it, regardless of whether they were gifted or not. So,
did your running ability help you when you were a narcotics officer in running down the meth lab guy who was running away from his trailer really fast and tackling him to the ground?
I didn't get to use that, but I could see how maybe it could have come in handy.
Those guys like energizer bunnies, you never would have caught them anyway. Yeah. They're all hopped up.
And in the 70s, you were the watermelon queen of South Carolina. Could you ever back then have envisioned a day when there would be a watermelon without seeds?
Well, yeah. Actually, then they were working on one.
That amazes me
funny
still.
Funny you would mention that, because, I obviously got a lot of watermelon history back then, because you had to, go to grocery stores and represent watermelons. but they were working on it back then. But back then, I don't think it tasted as good as it does now.
Well, and I am opposed to the seedless watermelon for the same reason I'm opposed to baseball players on steroids. It changes the rules of the contest. The watermelon eating champion today doesn't have to spit out the seeds. Yeah, or deal with the seeds even.
Well, and a big part of the pageant was the queens all lined up with their crowns and their strapless gowns and spit the seeds to see who could spit the furthest. So obviously that wouldn't work out without
not at all.
Seeds.
Do you like watermelon to this day, or can't stand it like somebody
love
who got drunk on tequila?
Still love
it. You still love it. Okay.
Love it.
Fantastic. And now that Survivor is done, will you cachet somehow? Will you cash in on your Survivor fame in some way, or will you go back to just being Ruth Marie Milliman of Greenville, South Carolina?
Well, I have gone back to just being me. I'm still raising two teenagers. Didn't give up my day job, obviously. But hopefully there'll be some good things to happen from this experience in reference to opportunities that I'll get to participate in, either be for financial gain or for fun or things my family will get to enjoy to do. So we still have some things ahead, the reunion and different get-togethers, which we're really looking forward
once
to
once a survivor always a survivor. But hey, maybe there's an endorsement deal for you to for a whole new line of vegetables or fruits out there.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. It's a pleasure to meet you. You are wonderfully fascinating and really down-to-earth, Ruth Marie.
Well, listen, good luck with the running and everything.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.